Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast for 6, 7 and 8 figure Amazon and e-commerce sellers, part of the amazing FBA podcast family. If you want to scale fast, target a 7 figure exit and enjoy the process, then keep listening. Ladles and jelly spoons, boys and girls, welcome back to the 10K Collective podcast, the place to be for 6, 7 and even 8-figure Amazon sellers who are also more broadly e-commerce sellers. Today is an Amazon-focused conversation. We're talking conversion optimization and translation with Omar Angri of Margin Business. Omar is a co-founder of Margin Business and they specialize in listing optimization and translation for busy Amazon sellers. So Omar, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're a man of excitement and enthusiasm, because I was interviewed you by for your podcast a while ago and really enjoyed the experience. So where are you coming to us from today, Omar? Let's give a bit of context.
Okay, what I want to do is I want to talk about the importance of Amazon optimization for listings and as well translation. And in the translation, within the translation as well, the optimization, the localization, yeah, it's and the whole marketing aspect of Amazon. So everything needs to be in one thing. And I want to just make everyone understand what it is. I try not to get too complicated. And yeah, let's do this.
Sounds good. So where in the world are you right now, Omar?
At the moment, I'm based in Spain because of COVID, it's a bit hard to move. So yeah, I think staying here is the smoothest what we can do. You don't have to go to any immigration center or anything. So just stay and stay as long as we can and then just move on, because we are constantly traveling.
Interesting. So a bit of a digital nomad. And I know that did you grow up in Germany or no? You had
yes,
this time
exactly.
there.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay. So you got...
I was born and grew up in Germany.
Okay, so you got your real European, that you got a real yes. handle on the culture. And that's really
exactly.
important. I think, as you say, localization is not just about translation. So let's plunge into the content there. So the first question is, why even bother with pro translation? Can't you just Google Translate? Or if you're really going to go crazy, hire somebody off Fiverr and then it's done. Why is that not good enough?
Yeah, it's a good question. So actually going for Google Translate, which what Amazon proposes you, is usually a big fail. You know, it's not even worth to think about it. If you're very, very new and you want to test something out, at least hire somebody who might have a bit of experience, is a native speaker, and put it on. But this is only like a temporary until your product arrives, or, you know, until you have something going, you know, until something is moving. But the best thing is what I can tell everyone to count this into this investment, what you make already in the product. So don't just think about product, think about as well your shop, you know, because your shop needs to have a nice window. If you go into a shopping mall or something and the window is trash, why bother, you know? So this is the same as when you have a Google Translator in there and everything is just ripped. It seems ripped off and the pictures are awful, or it's just one picture and then, yeah, buy my product. So why? There's 5 or 6 or maybe 100 other products like this. So if you then hire somebody from Fiverr or Upwork, it's not the same, but it's you need somebody who has marketing experience, who has translation experience, who has Amazon experience, and who know how to write a localized listing. Okay, when you have a translator who knows how to write a localized listing, you need to still have his Amazon experience, and on top of it, the marketing experience, content and copywriting, not to forget about it. So it's going to be quite hard to find these 5 or 6 points in one go. And if you find it on Fiverr and Upwork, they will just be for one language, for example, yeah, if you find them. Because you cannot even verify if he does. So imagine you hire this person and that's it. Then if it don't work, then you lost a ton of money, because they are well not cheap. So yeah, this is the main reason why I think, or not think, because out of experience that I know that it's really not the good way to go. So the good way is to go is to somebody like our company, Margin Business. There is as well other companies who do the same services, and depending on the language or on the region you're in, you need to choose one of these agencies. Like I said, investment is the key here. If you don't invest, maybe 10 years ago, it would have been good. Maybe 6 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. But we are right now going into a phase, it will not work anymore. You will lose your whole investment if you don't really follow through with a professional listing and a professional listing in general.
Yeah, agreed. And there's a couple of examples you've got of some terrible mistranslations. I know you had some Swedish example where they translated something very badly. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, this went viral as well. So when the Swedish market opened, obviously everyone thought like, yeah, whatever, why should we bother to hire some Amazon experts because the keywords are not in yet. But still, you should have a Swedish translator who knows marketing and who knows e-commerce, even though you don't know Amazon, maybe e-commerce. So you can at least start with something and good in the good direction. No, what they did is they choose Google Translator. And there was a word in there was rap seat, and it translated into Swedish, into rape. So this is obviously a big, big fail, you know, and who's going to buy the product? I mean, yourself, the one who created the listing, would you buy your product? No, obviously not.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty disastrous. Yeah. It's funny how what you're saying, I guess I knew a couple of serious sellers who were very UK focused, a UK based company. They'd had a great history of selling in the UK, and they kind of treated German as an afterthought and put Google Translate, and they got some sales. But then first thing, yeah, it was in 2017-18, and I guess things have really moved on. But also, I said to them, look, I mean, first of all, I bullied them to go and sell in Germany for about, you know, 3 months, and they started doing it, and they've made a lot of money there. But the second thing, I said, great, now you're doing it, and you've proven you got some sales. Don't you think you would get a lot more sales if you actually optimize it? I mean, sometimes people think, well, I've got sales, why should I bother? To which my answer is, well, there's improving and also your profit margin, you know, all sorts of things. If you're paying for PPC and your conversion rate's low, then you've probably got a very low profit margin, et cetera, right? It seems kind of obvious. They're a very intelligent business person, but even so, there's a kind of culture gap, right? People think of language as a little add-on. And it's not really, is it? I mean, the first thing whenever I look on Amazon.com and I see something that says happy time, I think, it's a Chinese factory. And in my mind, I take $10 off the price I'm prepared to pay for it. Simple as that. Now, people don't necessarily shop that way as consciously, but if your language is weird, there's a sort of strange smell about it. And people still forget with internet marketing, and I want to dive into this a bit, but that trust is still a thing. People are still very wary online. They think they're getting ripped off. They think the quality isn't good. They think it's faked. And anything that gives them a feeling that it isn't 100% real and normal and what they're expecting just puts people off. And particularly, I think, in certain markets, right? The Germans, not the most famously forgiving shoppers, and the second biggest Amazon market in the world, right? I mean, what's your experience of the biggest fails that you've seen in translation in Germany before we get into how we should do this? Let's twist the knife a bit.
Yeah, in Germany, we have plenty examples because German shoppers are very skeptical in general, as you already mentioned. So if you don't have a real like German native is one thing, but a German localized native language, that means that you speak really with the customer directly. So he understands you, he feels you, and he knows that you are from Germany and your product may not be German, you know, because everyone knows where product's coming from, but most of the products. But he needs to feel that you understand him and that you know how to speak to him. So if you come up with a sentence which is directly translated from, for example, buy now, okay? So buy now would sound like, you know, for me, I don't like it as well. You know, maybe there's still lots of German in me. So when somebody tells me buy now, I feel like I'm being sold to. I don't like to be sold to. I like to be taken over, okay? I know that I'm going to be sold to, but I don't want to be directly sold to. So I would love to have it like very smoothly, you know? And this is what you have to show them within the Amazon listing. So I give an example. There is a very big company, and I will continue this example. It's a GNC. GNC is a big protein company from the US, very big in Asia, very big in the UK as well. And recently I've seen the listing from them and in Germany, and they have no sales. And Germans are definitely protein fanatics. They buy protein, crazy. Although the country is not as big as the United States, you have, for example, On Nutrition, which is, if somebody is not into protein, would not even know the brand. While GNC, everyone knows it because it looks like medical supply and they can buy it just everywhere. Everyone knows it. So On Nutrition has about 300,000 on one product of sales per month in Germany. So GNC, they have almost no sales. Why? Look at the two listings. GNC's listing has one photo. The one photo is not even adapted to the market. A-plus content is not adapted to the market. Nobody on there, like very nice pictures, maybe a woman who's doing sports, depending on the country, what people want to see. Maybe she's eating something, which makes them confident that they can eat as well, not only needing to take the protein shake. Somebody very muscled up or somebody normal, depending as well on the country, how people want to see, what people want to see. So the nine photos, they don't even take care of it. And as well, not a video as well. So if you go to On Nutrition, and as well, the text was terrible. No keywords inside, and Google Translate to the finest with maybe one paragraph, you know, each, like a small sentence, you know. So On Nutrition did a better job, but still they could do a lot better in the listing. So can you imagine, they sell, for example, 300,000 worth from this one. They have nice pictures. They have a nice A-plus content. But their text is not 100%. Their text is maybe 60%. So they could, when if they put keywords, for example, inside, and they drive some traffic from outside into the listing, and they make some more promotion, not only PPC, they make it look a little bit better. They get a little bit more engaging. They are out of this 300,000, they can make easy, they double it up per year because they can take the whole market share by then.
Yeah. And what also people miss again and again with this optimization piece is like, oh, that's going to increase my, even if your sales only increase 10%. If that increase doesn't involve any increase in cost and your profit margin was, say, after ads, I don't know, 20%, then you've added a massive chunk to your profit margin. It's what people don't get. Like, you are, oh, my optimization's only increased my conversion rate 15% from 10%. Like, hang on a minute, do the math. Do the math, as they say in America, because if you look at your profit margin, you might have added 50%. And, sure, you know, people get so revenue obsessed, even businesses that are, you know, run by very seasoned business operators. People have been, in some cases, generations of I've got several multi-generation businesses that I work with. And even those guys miss the point that if you increase, sure, your conversion rate without increasing the traffic in order to get that, you get more sales with less, with the same amount of traffic, much bigger profit margin. So that, I think this is the piece that people miss, and it seems so obvious, but I'm shouting and banging people over the head just to kind of get this across because people miss it. So having shouted and banged people on the head and say, you really got to get this right, let's look at about how to do it. So you've got a four-part formula, which I like. Four sounds nice, simple, friendly number to really, you know, you say unlocking success, kicking your competition to the curb. I like this stuff. So what's the first place you start? Is it presumably not going on Fiverr, right? What do we start with instead?
No. The first one, we look at the company in general, yeah? So we do at the product as well. So before we start anything, we're going to do a keyword research. The keyword research would be out of the competitors, what these all these companies we are competing against and the product we are competing against. So normally on Amazon is only the product. So we're going to take the products and see exactly what we are looking at. Who has the most sales? Who has the less sales? And where can we bring ourselves in? Is the competitor very, very big? Like, for example, big protein companies, which have a lot of money, which we obviously as small companies cannot tackle. So in this case, if they are foreigners and if they didn't do their homework, what we can do is optimization. And with this optimization, we can get so close to them. We will even spend less of money only by optimizing the correct keywords. And how do we do that? And how to find the correct keywords? So how do we do that? So foreign companies tend to look at the bigger picture. They have no native speakers. So what they do a research, they check keywords, which are red, for example, okay? But what if there is a, for example, foreign companies, what if they have taken wrong keywords already from the competitors themselves? So what are they going to do then? What we do is we just go inside, we take out the keywords which are actually not taken from them, which have maybe a little bit, now in Europe it's a little bit, we take them, like, let's give you a number, like 500, and the others have keywords which are like 1,500, and we take them out. They don't have this in their listing. We put it in our listing and we automatically rank better than them. Afterwards, what we do, we will translate. We will translate the listing. Obviously, we have you should have a copywriter. At the same time, you should be a content writer for the native language you are translating in, and it needs to be localized. A native speaker, which is localized, obviously, will do that for you. Then they need to break it down. And as well, if there is normally there is an English base listing. From this English base listing, we translate, but we don't literally translate. We look at it from the way of what can we translate, what can we localize, or what needs to be even changed. Maybe there is something changed, not the sense of the listing, but how we address the customer. So we will go from there as well. This is where the localization comes in, because we really have to speak to the customer about how he wants to be addressed, how is he used to address in his country. Yeah, and that's why it's already hard. If you have seven languages in Europe, and each and every single one will be translating, you will need to hire, for example, you will need to hire seven freelancers. Yeah, but all these seven freelancers all have the same background. What we've been speaking about: the content, the copy, Amazon experience, marketing, localization, and translation, and e-commerce, obviously, and general e-commerce experience. And this will be very hard, especially when you want to go professional, and especially when you need to go professional right now. I mean, when I talk about professional, it's not just, you know, make the listing. The listing needs to be perfect. The listing needs to be adapted to the country, and the listing needs to be as well after, for example, 1 month or 2 months, check again, keywords, are they ranking? Are they good? Photos, are they good? Who changed? A-plus content. Is the A-plus content corrected to that country? Have the reviews changed? Can I change something in the A-plus content? Because after a few months, even if it's the same product, all the countries need to have different from the reviews. They need to have, everything needs to differ, because customers from the other country, from different countries will as well have different reviews. They like different things. They dislike different things. So everything needs to be afterwards built into the listing. So it's one thing what I can say is never have a set it and forget it strategy. This is the most important thing.
Hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting. Actually, it's very tempting to set it and forget it with a lot of things.
Yes, definitely.
That's partly how it's sold to people as an original business model, right? But no business actually flourishes with that kind of mentality. And I guess that's true even on Amazon. So let's dig into a few of these areas a little bit. I mean, the first thing is the keyword research. So you were saying that the foreign companies tend to do sort of short tail keywords, basically, and we need to look into medium tail keywords. Is that right? I mean,
yes.
What's the best way if somebody wants to do this themselves to a degree? I mean, obviously, you know, it's clear that doing this yourself too much is going to be very, very hard to recreate
what a translation company
does. But even if you're working with an expert, it helps to understand their side, right? For example, I was just working with my bookkeeper, and sometimes I work with a professional photographer, and I help to focus, you know, help my clients write briefs for photographers so that they get the most out of them. So even then, it helps to understand the other side. So what's the best way to find those valuable medium and longer tail keywords that the competitors are missing?
Okay, we are usually working with Helium 10, a software which normally, if you're in the Amazon space, you know, you should know, because it's one of the best tools out there. There's as well Zonguru, which is as well very, very specific tool, very good as well for the European markets, as well for Australia, and now as well for India. Very helpful. But let's in general, what you need to do when you see, for example, these keywords being used by let's say foreign companies, and they have these long tail keywords, the red ones, and they make no sense at all. For example, let's say shake protein best. Okay, things like that. They might be at number one, okay, but it makes no sense to put this in, because when you read it, it's like Google Translate has done it. Even though you bet on it, they bet on it. They might bet on it $10 per click. They will come at first place, you know, and they will be in the sponsored ranks in the first place if they really do it. But in general, if they do it, then they will be at the first place. So what you're gonna do is, You don't check on him. You check on him only which keywords he don't use. There is ways how to find this out. I don't go technical now, but you can check what keywords he use and what keywords he don't use. And you can go to the others, what keywords they use as well. All the ones which are, for example, on the first 5-6 spaces in Amazon. And most of the times, these are the foreign sellers because they have the money and they have the power in order to be there. But as soon as they don't do the sponsored anymore, they will fall, all of them. Because obviously, they are spending and their margin and everything will mess up at some point. So when you're coming in and you do the correct choice and you have the correct keywords, you can even go with a lot less budget in there, because the budget of the long term is very important as well. Although you're going to invest in your shop front, in your storefront, you're going to invest in your listing. But it's one investing like over time. It's not as big as every day to need to pay for clicks, for example, because we all know Amazon is getting very competitive, and not everyone can hold with the big boys right now. So there needs to be ways in order to make it easier, and as well for companies who are interested to put their budget down a little bit, because at some point it makes no sense anymore if you spend so much money all day long, especially in the US, it's completely crazy. We talk about, you know, other PPC amounts, but the UK knows as well already. The UK is as well already per click, it's pretty high, you know. In Europe, it's still affordable, you know. And this is as well an invite for the US sellers to come into Europe, because it's still affordable. There are still things to do before we get the aggregators in, but this is, I think we come to this.
Thank you for flagging that off.
I like, as in general, I talk about long tail keywords. Mm-hmm. I'm not really a fan of one word, one words or something. I really like long tail keywords.
Mm. Yeah, big fan as well. And it makes sense, because really what we're finding is that white space, as people call it, or the blue ocean rather than the red ocean. So instead of protein shake or some insanely competitive keyword, you're looking at protein shake for women 50 plus, or I don't know the market, but whatever it is, you know, something very, very specific. And also the thing is that strikes me in sort of general keyword classification, if you think in terms of a funnel, top of funnel, as I'm just educating myself, they're normal Google shoppers, middle of funnel, you kind of got some idea, bottom of funnel, you're ready to buy. The more specific a keyword is, the more of a buyer keyword it is for me. If somebody puts the word protein shake into Amazon, they clearly have no idea what they are looking for, except that they've heard about protein shakes and it's an alternative to Google, right? But the chances are pretty high they're going to click on your listing, cost you $10 or whatever it is, 15 euros or something ridiculous. If it's in the US, it could be that much now.
Yes, definitely.
The other thing to say is that the affordability of PPC in Europe versus the cost of translation, I think people don't put their costs. It sounds really weird, but it's almost an accounting error that you need to ascribe your cost to a product line over a period of time. Just because something costs you $500 or euros now to do doesn't mean that that's the way you should ascribe the cost. You should amortize the cost of a translation across the useful lifetime of the translation, right? So if you sell 10,000 units and it costs you $500, it's peanuts. It's pennies per unit sold. Whereas PPC is going to cost you, you know, $5 every single time you sell the thing, if that's your main way of selling. So looked at it that way, I always honestly think any form of optimization for conversion, including translation, is incredibly good value. And people miss that because they look very short term. And it sounds like a strange thing to say, but I just think even sophisticated business operators, they're good at operations, but their financial management is kind of primitive. They're like, oh, it's going to cost me $500. I'm not going to do that. I'm like, have you looked at your PPC spend this month? Did you notice you spent $10,000 or euros, whatever? So for any Americans listening, I would say, please think about those two numbers next to each other, the PPC costs versus translation, and really make a financially driven, intelligent decision. And I would swear that 9 times out of 10, the conversion optimization wins. I'm just such a big fan, which is why I wanted to have you on the show. I just think it's the way to make more profit. Anyway, so that's my rant over. One question I've got about is this word localization. We've used it 2 or 3 times. We really ought to define, what does this really mean? You've gave us a bit of an example in Germany. Let's dig into that more, because I think that's really important as well.
Okay, from localization in general, for translating is really if you have the English version, and the English version has some phrases in there which has nothing to do with Germany, for example, okay? But at the same time, it had nothing to do I will go only for the 4 big countries right now. I will leave Netherlands, Sweden, and Poland for the moment aside, because they are emerging markets, they are new. Yeah. So when we have France and when we have Spain and Italy, we really need to adapt. That means that people who live in that country, people, the best, even people living a long time in that country, will actually understand how to address the Italian customer or the Spanish customer or the French customer. While in Germany, now it's as well changing a little. They like a more formal approach for the listing, just an example. In Spain or Italy, it's very, you know, very relaxed. While in France, for example, it's as well formal, it's changing as well a little bit, but they love it when they see that the person is from France. He understands, he uses words from France. And the best would be even that the product was made in France. Because if your product is made for example, in China, if the French see it, it's a bit of, they don't really like it, you know, so they don't want to know. For Germans, don't matter so much, you know, but if it comes to baby or something, which is for the body as well, same. And now, if the product, if for example, an Italian, they love it when their product comes as well from their country. So the localization is really to adapt to the country as if you are from that country. And that's why you need native speakers who has lived in that country. And for us, for example, we are a team which are really focused on this. So we really have this team always working with them. So they understand exactly what we mean with localization because they have been a long time part of the team. They get inoculated, they get trained. And yeah, this is for me the main point of localization. And as well, in Amazon, I mentioned it already before, it's the reviews. You can see through the reviews the differences of the different cultures. When you read, for example, a review in Italy, it might be complete different complaints or completely different like plus points than in France or in Germany. It really depends. But this is as well something your A+ content needs to change within the countries after a while. So the best would be after 3 months, for example, every A+ is changed as well the pictures. If it needs to be, if it's not, the pictures would be great as well to be changed. If it need changes, now everything needs to be in line. For example, the 9 pictures we cannot change in Europe.
I was about to ask you about that. Yeah. You're talking about making very country specific changes, which makes 100% sense. I think everyone gets that who is in any way interested in, you know, refining their conversion rates in different countries. But how do we actually deal with that within the Amazon platform? Because I've had that question numerous times from newbies all the way through to very advanced sellers. And it used to be that you could change it if you had the ear of an Amazon account manager, which is unusual. But if you're doing a 7 figures, you could sometimes do that. Is it even possible to do that now? And the latest technical question.
As far as I'm aware, it's not possible to change the pick from country to country. Like the 9 picture, we talk about the 9 pictures or the video which you have the possibility to put on. Now, there is a possibility to do. You can open accounts in every single country, for example. And then you can change, then you can have different pictures, which I have seen companies doing it. They have different entities, the same product. And that's how they can change their pictures and as well adapt it to the country and change as well the text on it. That's why. But if you don't do that, and you know, it's a real hustle, you need to be really big and, you know, accountancy in every single country. And it's not so easy. What I recommend is to write the three main languages, German, French, maybe Spanish. You know, Italian is rather a smaller market. So I would not put like 4 languages on the pictures, but I would definitely do the 3 languages on the pictures. Obviously, UK is alone, but it's still connected. So English should be anyway on there. But in order to reach all the countries, because if it's only English on there, it's as well not good, you know? I mean, there is not a perfect way because we are still not in the times where we can choose the languages on the pictures. Either this or that, you know. So if you begin with one language, for example, German, you have German through all of the other countries, which I think is not very advantageous. Yeah. So I think you should put the 3 languages from the beginning so really? You can have them. Yeah. So the A+ you can change.
Hey, folks, thanks so much for listening to another episode of the 10K Collective podcast, the place to be for 6, 7, and 8-figure Amazon sellers, a subset of the amazing FBA podcast for Amazon sellers in general, specifically focused on the UK. A lot of our sellers are based in the US, so they're the 2 main audiences we aim to serve. Today, I hope that you've learned from Omar some important thoughts if you're UK or US-based around the whole translation thing. It turns out that Google translates a Balandier. Who would have thought it? I mean, of course, cheap and easy are always good words, but you got to think about the overall cost of doing things cheaply versus the upside potential of doing things well and how much return on investment you get. I would argue very, very strongly that any kind of optimization of any kind of listing or web page is a really great return on investment compared to paying for traffic, which is going to cost you forever and ever, amen. When you turn off your paid traffic, then the benefit of that stops. Whereas if you pay for optimization once, whether that's of the words or the images or preferably both, that's going to last for as long as that listing is fresh and valid. And yes, you've got to keep optimizing, but that's kind of a tweaking as opposed to creation process. So if you think of translation as a subset of great marketing, I think it's kind of obvious why localization and good quality professional copywriting translation type translation is important. And that's this. Any marketer worth their salt knows that message to market match is the key to great marketing, which means if I'm trying to attract 60 plus American ladies, it's no good if I'm writing copy that appeals to aggressive 20-year-old men who like to spend a lot of time in their gym. There's a mismatch there, and that's kind of obvious, right? But what happens with translation is people miss the fact that trying to sell to a 20-year-old American man who likes to go into the gym is kind of different from selling to a 20-year-old German man who likes to go into the gym. And actually, there's no reason why they should be the exact same. And it turns out they're not. So this is just, if you like, a subset of great marketing principles, message to market match. And if you're trying to wrap your head around this stuff, that's what I would suggest. Another way of putting it is there are cultural differences. And even within the US or the UK, we can all think of regions of the UK, for example, and southern middle-class people in London, very, very different from northern people that I've studied in the north of Britain. And I'm sure that you can think in America, you'd have, you can't take a guy out of Los Angeles and market to them the same way as you market to somebody in rural Kentucky, for example, right? So we're all familiar with cultural differences. We try and ignore them. The solution is pretty much simple, which is hire the experts. So if you want to hire Omar and his team, obviously they do 1,000 listings a month, translation and optimization at the moment. So they really know their business. They've got a team of, I think, 20 people full time. So very, very expert and doing this every single day. So very much got their finger on the pulse. If you want to hire those guys, go to amazingfba.com/Omar. That's O-M for mother A-R. And if you mention Michael Veazey or Amazing FBA, then you'll get a 10% discount, which is definitely worth having. Whether you hire Omar or somebody else, or even decide to do it in-house, I'd really urge you to not overlook the financial power of getting this stuff right. A lot of people are leaving a lot of money on the table, like hundreds of thousands of dollars of profit, or euros or pounds, whatever, because they're not doing this well. The other thing is, if your competition is lazy about this, and a lot of people are, and you go to the trouble of doing it well, that's a huge competitive advantage. So for those reasons alone, I'd really urge you to educate yourself about this and then implement a solution. Hiring the experts is probably the way forward, because developing this expertise in-house is going to be a much bigger job than you think. And nearly everyone who tries to do it themselves either gets a mediocre job or realizes eventually it's not worth it and hires somebody. But that's your call as a business owner, the best use of your time and money. What I would say is, this is a great opportunity, and because other people think of it as difficult and can't be bothered, that means if you can be bothered to do it properly, great competitive advantage and opportunity. Thanks very much for listening. I hope that was useful stuff. Good hunting. Good luck. Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast for 6- and 7-figure Amazon sellers. I really hope you found the show helpful to you. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please do leave us a quick star rating. It will take you all of 30 seconds to do it, but it does mean we can be found by and help many more e-commerce business builders. I wish you fast and profitable scaling, and I hope you enjoy the process of building your 7-figure Amazon business. Thanks very much for listening.